My name is Michelle Schabowski, the archivist for the PA History Society. Today is January 26th, 2017. I will be interviewing Dr. George Hillegas, or do you prefer Rick?
I like to say both, George F. and then Rick. Everybody knows me by Rick.
All right, so, sir, could you please state your full name and spelling for the transcriber?
Okay, it's George F. Parentheses, R-I-C-K, mm-hmm. parentheses, close parentheses, Hillegas, H-I-L-L-E-G-A-S, the third, okay? That's my full name.
Okay.
I have a doctorate in counseling psychology and MPH in healthcare administration and planning. Mm-hmm. I've been one of the few PAs who's been certified 8 times or for 44 years. And I'm also a distinguished fellow of the American Academy of Physician Assistants. That's my, all my titles. Oh, and a husband, a father, and everything else.
All right, fantastic. So, let's get started. Can you tell us some stuff about your background, like where you grew up, for instance?
Well, I'm a Philadelphian, and my family's been here since 1710. And I grew up in Center City, Philadelphia, basically. I attended Catholic grammar school in high school. I went to NC State, North Carolina State University. Mm-hmm. Was there for 4 years, never got a degree, got 110 hours, and ended up in the U.S. Navy as a corpsman, a medic. And that's where I developed my interest in medicine, to be honest with you. I was basically an operating room technician, a field medic, mm-hmm. which means I trained to go with the Marines. And after my time at Camp Lejeune, I was sent to Washington, D.C., and I was assigned, it's a term is secundit. I was stationed at the Navy shipyard in Washington, D.C., but also reassigned to the Marine Corps, whose responsibility was to, if anything happened to the president, they would send us with the Marines to go defend the president. The Marines would, we would be there for the medical support.
Okay.
At that time, there was about 12 or 13 of us, maybe 14. Mm-hmm. There were newbies like myself and returning Vietnam veterans who were corpsmen. It's interesting because I ended up in George Washington's medical school's first physician assistant program.
So when was this?
That was 1972.
So when did you join the Navy, if you don't mind?
Oh, 1966.
Did you go overseas?
I was in the reserves.
You were in the reserves, okay.
Yep. And then in, let's see, 68. I was called to active duty.
So you were still in the Navy when you were when you enrolled in George Washington University?
No, actually, I was in the Navy Reserves.
Okay.
I finished my commitment, my active duty commitment, but I stayed in the Reserves because I wanted to return to the Naval Services.
What drew you to the PA profession?
To be perfectly honest with you, I wanted to be a physician. Mm-hmm. And I was accepted at 3 foreign medical schools, and long story, my ex-wife didn't want me to be a foreign-trained physician, mm-hmm. and I started reading about the PA profession, and that was a happy compromise.
Okay.
And compromise is okay. There's nothing wrong with the idea of compromise.
No,
because
not at all.
I'll be honest with you, I'm a pragmatist, and for me at that time, mm-hmm. just worked out well.
How did you find out about it? Was there a specific thing, like a lot of people say, the Look article or the Reader's Digest article?
Actually, in the Naval Services, a mentor at that time was called a Sea Daddy.
Okay.
My mentor was the first African-American E-9 Navy Hospital Corpsman, Master Chief Charles Percy Cobbs, mm-hmm. an outstanding individual. If I would have listened to him, I would have been into the Navy, but I asked a simple question, and he checked it out for me. And the simple question was, will I get a degree from this program? I didn't ask the right question. The right question would have been, if I have all the credits, would I have gotten a bachelor's degree? Because that's what I was going after.
Okay.
And he honestly told me, he says, Rick, they can't guarantee you a bachelor's degree. Mm. And I said, okay, Master Chief, I'll apply to him anyway. So when I started in 1972, mm-hmm. 15 Navy guys and 15 civilians started that program, and I was one of the civilians. If I would have listened to the Master Chief, mm-hmm. I would have had a career in the Navy rather than the Coast Guard.
So what was it like being in the first graduating class? Like, was everyone, well, what was like the atmosphere?
When you would do rotations, mm-hmm. they'd always ask you, why aren't you in medical school?
Oh.
And my response to the physicians was, if I could have gotten in, I would have.
Mm-hmm.
But my academic adventures, I was a gentleman's C, that's what I can call it. And, you know, medical school would want at least a B GPA, and I didn't have my degree yet.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, like I said, a happy compromise. I'm very pragmatic about things.
Mm-hmm.
And I was very fortunate. I was very fortunate, to be honest with you. So I got into the program, and I did my clinical rotations. I was an OR tech. I don't know if I mentioned that.
No, you haven't.
An operating room technician. So I ended up, I was pretty good at suturing and casting and doing IMDs and all the kind of what they would call scut work.
Mm-hmm.
But I enjoyed it. Medicine, as a Navy corpsman, to be perfectly honest with you,
mm-hmm.
It was great to have somebody say thank you for even, you know, just a minor, you know, minor assistance in their medical issue.
Mm-hmm.
That's what really seduced me into medicine. And I always talk about medicine being a love affair.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, you fall in love with it, you fall out of love with it, you miss it, you go back to it. It's just like a relationship.
Yeah.
And that's what it's been with me for 40, whatever it is, 45, 46 years.
With your clinical rotations, could you pick kind of who you followed, like what kind of practice you wanted to get into, or at that time, did they just assign you things?
Oh, they just assigned, and I personally was attracted to primary care
mm-hmm.
because there's so much stuff to learn. Although it may be boring at times, it's phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
It's psychiatry, it's surgery, it's pediatrics, it's OBGYN. It's, you name it. It encompasses all of medicine,
mm-hmm.
in my opinion. And I always liked that challenge. You know, there was always something new to learn. That's what I liked about it.
After you graduated, what happened?
Well, you know, we were a new animal then.
Mm-hmm.
At the time, I think I graduated, maybe there was 200 of us in the country. Maybe a little more. I don't know. Maybe 600, somewhere.
Well, here, before we get on, how many were in your graduating class?
Well, we started with 30. I think we finished with 30.
Okay.
You know, 15 went back into the Navy, 15 went out to the civilian environment.
Mm-hmm.
And, before I graduated, I started my master's in healthcare administration and planning at GW.
Okay.
And the reason I did that, because I wasn't too sure this thing was going to really catch on.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't sure at all. And I was hedging my bets because I'm a pragmatist.
Right.
So I started my master's in healthcare administration, hospital administration, hoping to kind of give myself a little more credibility in the healthcare field,
mm-hmm.
and also hedging my bets, like I said. So my first job was at the VA in Martinsburg, West Virginia. And it was okay. But I really wanted to get back into the military. So I applied to the Navy, and they weren't taking any outside PAs. And I applied to the Coast Guard. and that's how I ended up in the Coast Guard. It was a happy, again, a compromise, mm-hmm. being pragmatic. I anticipated that PAs, and that was 1974, March, I anticipated us being full commissioned. At that time, we were warrant officers. And it was a happy compromise. I enjoyed the challenge of military medicine, the traveling, et cetera.
So what kind of places did you travel to? Where did you get to go?
Well, literally the ends of the earth.
Okay.
I've been to the Arctic. Mm-hmm. I was the first PA on our largest Coast Guard vessel, which was, I'm blanking on it. The Glacier.
Okay.
And it was an icebreaker.
Can you explain what an icebreaker is?
We break ice.
Oh, okay. That's all you do. Well,
we break ice, and we function as a science platform for the National Science Foundation.
Okay.
And we do all kinds of studies. So, I've been to the Arctic, mm-hmm. and then I've been to the Antarctic three times.
Okay.
And so it's a really interesting trip. So the Antarctic trips are much better. We go down and we stop at different ports of call, and it takes us about 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So, I've been to Costa Rica, Panama, Trinidad, Tobago, and Brazil,
mm-hmm.
Chile, going down.
Mm-hmm.
I've been to New Zealand, Fiji. What else? Oh, Australia and Tasmania.
Okay.
And I've done a lot of sailing. I always like to say I sailed the seven seas.
Yeah.
And I didn't even ask to go.
Aw.
They just sent me and said, okay.
So what was your favorite place out of all of those?
I gotta be honest with you.
Yeah.
When I remarried,
mm-hmm.
My favorite place was to come home.
Aw.
That's true. I mean, I had a great wife, and it was, I just, you know, she put up with my, I'd leave for 6 to 8, maybe 9 months at a time.
Mm-hmm.
But that was over a 20-year career, or 17-year.
Okay.
Yeah, they were all good. I had great experiences. I loved Chile.
Mm-hmm.
I loved the people of Chile. I loved in Fiji, meeting with the Fijian Armed Services. They're great people.
Mm-hmm.
Australia, Tasmania was nice. Australia, Sydney, Australia was great. Auckland, New Zealand. Interesting thing about New Zealand, one of my preceptors at GW
mm-hmm.
had a very good friend who was the senior medical officer for the New Zealand Armed Forces. So I was there for 5 days, and he was a brigadier, the equivalent of a general or an admiral, was my host, was super. I mean, it was great. I loved the North Island, and it was fun.
So can you go in more into your experiences with the Coast Guard as a PA? Like, what kind of services did you usually provide?
Well, primary care.
My
first duty station was in a training center for new recruits in San Francisco Bay Area.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I did my MPH at Berkeley. I think I was the first or second PA to do an MPH there.
Okay.
So it was very nice. It was good. I was divorced at that time, and I had a wonderful time in the San Francisco Bay Area. It was 1975, 76, 78. My next duty station
mm-hmm.
was Baltimore, and that was a shipyard.
Mm-hmm.
Did primary care, occupational health. I ended up meeting my wife of 38 years. Yeah, she's from Baltimore. And long story short, got married.
Mm-hmm.
My next duty station was Honolulu, Hawaii.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I replaced two physicians. I was the only person at that base. It was called Sand Island. Then, let's see, I ended up in Cape May, New Jersey, another training base. Mm-hmm. I'm a Philadelphian, so the Jersey Shore was being right at home with my mother, God rest her soul. Lived in Cape May, New Jersey, and I had a sister down there and a brother-in-law, so that was like home.
Okay.
Then, my last tour of duty was back to Baltimore, and I retired from Baltimore, and I went on to Capitol Hill as a health policy fellow. But the Coast Guard offered tremendous opportunities. The first PA in the Coast Guard, as I remember, was a guy named Tom Jozovic. I don't know if he's still alive or not. And there are other PAs that I can name. Mike Schaefer was one of the early PAs. Ed Hector, who was our first PA in the Coast Guard, who later went on to get his doctorate and headed up a couple PA programs. Ed's a great guy. Ed and I were active in the commissioning of physician assistants. Mike Schaefer was a colleague. Ed Wilson, a Coast Guard gentleman. They all went to, let's see, the Coast Guard, if they sent you to training, they would send you to Duke University.
Okay.
So a number of PAs at that time were sent to Duke University for their PA training, who were from within the Coast Guard.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the physicians, though, came from the Public Health Service. And later on, the Public Health Service started commissioning PAs, which was kind of a tough thing when you were a warrant and you had someone who, one of my students from GW, I was acted as a preceptor, always would come and apologize to me because he was getting promoted more than I was.
Oh.
And I told him, I said, he spoke to me about being commissioned, and I said, look, don't come into the Coast Guard, go to the Public Health Service, it's a better deal. And he retired out as a captain, which is the equivalent of a colonel. I retired out of the Coast Guard as a warrant officer. And, you know, but it's the old saying, right place, right time, right credentials.
Right.
And I don't begrudge anybody that.
So,
the Coast Guard was really a great opportunity for those enlisted fellows, in that instance, they only had guys, getting training as a PA. Things have changed a lot. We now have women PAs in the Coast Guard, and they're full commissioned officers. One of the recent, shakers and movers was Jim Cannon, who has a doctorate in, I forget what his doctorate is, a doctorate in, I want to say, management or something. I can't remember, to be honest with you. I've been retired over 25 years.
Oh.
But he was a mover and a shaker after I left. Let me see who else. To be honest with you, he made a great impact because he ended up doing administrative taking administrative positions, and that was really great because it showed the Coast Guard that PAs are more educated than, and this is no reflection on my fellow warrants, than the majority of the warrant officers.
Okay.
So, I mean, you know, you have to be honest about it and pragmatic, but Jim has done some really wonderful work for the Coast Guard and the Academy, the APA.
So when did the, you might have said, but did the Coast Guard always allow commissioning of PAs, or was that later?
No.
Do you know the...
No, that was 1992.
Oh, that late. Okay.
Yeah, I was walking out the door, and the Admiral said, why aren't you taking, which Lieutenant, and I said, Mike, you get me cheap once, you don't get me cheap twice, you're a click off, and a click is an old military expression. if you made me a lieutenant commander, he said, I can't do that. And he says, well, what do you want to do? I said, I'm going to Capitol Hill as a health policy fellow.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, what? I mean, you know, it was, to be honest with you, we didn't get a tremendous amount of respect from the Coast Guard and administrators, whether they be physicians or what have you.
Right.
I mean, you know, we were there to plug a void, a hole, whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's a little different. The mindset's a little different.
You said you and, was it Ed Hector, were active in trying to get
commission.
Okay.
Yeah, he retired out, I guess, 3 years later.
Mm-hmm.
But I was fighting the battle. At one time, I was the only, I testified before Congress, I believe it was twice, and they asked me, the congressional committee, and they asked me, why am I hoping to get commission for the other armed services? I said, because no one else had the guts to do it. And it was interesting, one of the congressmen asked me, well, weren't you in the Navy? I said, yeah. He said, weren't you assigned Marines? I said, yeah. You with the Coast Guard? I said, yeah. I even had a commission in the Public Health Service, but I backed out of it because Reagan was closing down the Public Health Service. He says, which service do you prefer?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, no comment. I just backed him up.
Right.
I said, but, you know, I've always been a proponent that PAs, nurses were given commissions. PAs should have the same equality of authority within the armed services. And I'm proud of the work I've done with that. One of the reasons I was picked for a health policy fellow was because of the work. I did lobbying on the Hill. I would go up to the congressman's door and, how you doing, blah, 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 you know.
Right.
And I was pretty good at that. I had no fear. I maybe had an attitude against or with authority. Anybody who knows me will tell you I'm a little, I just want to say crazy, but that's not the word. I have very little fear doing stuff like that.
So when did you get out of the Coast Guard?
1992.
And that's when you got your health policy fellowship, right?
Yeah, 92 to 93 as a boys welcome. There's about six or eight of us. I don't know how many are alive. I know some have passed. And then I was asked to get involved in PA education.
Mm-hmm.
And from 94, basically, until now, I've been in PA education.
All right, so a little bit. So the Health Policy Fellowship, what did that entail? Like, what was that?
I was supposed to work on urban healthcare issues, and Clinton came in, and Hillary was going to have Hillary Care, and that fell through. And so I ended up being a congressional aide, whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
I did that. I worked on an AIDS project that everyone else seems to come in and do. It was the AIDS Congressional Symposium. And it was when AIDS really became a really hot topic, a hot issue. And but that really went nowhere. And then I became a legislative assistant. As I dealt with areas of pharmacy, Native American affairs. And I don't have my resume. A bunch of stuff. And I spent it was a great year experience. I was offered a job as a lobbyist. But I told them I could do a little drinking, a little eating, and a little lying, but I couldn't do a lot of it.
Right.
I'll say yes, have you? So I said, I'm going back after the clinical environment. You know where you fit in.
Was there a particular issue that you were very passionate about?
Within the profession?
Within the profession, yeah. Or just in general? I mean,
no,
you can do both.
I was pretty, you know, single issue person.
Mm-hmm.
I did in commissioning.
Yeah.
And recognition of the PA profession for what it was worth. I mean, anything they asked me to do, basically, I went to.
Mm-hmm.
I went to do.
You got into academia in 1994?
Yeah.
Where was your first?
Quinnipiac University.
Okay.
I helped start that program. I was a third or fourth person they put on.
And then, How long were you there for?
About 12 years.
12 years?
About, give or take. Yeah, I left 2007.
Okay.
And I was the vice president of the, second vice president of the, union.
Mm-hmm.
And I was a clinical coordinator.
Okay. And then after that, you came to Tennessee?
Yeah, I was working on my doctorate, and I started needed a transition. I was offered a position here as associate dean. And I'm following up. When our dean left, I was offered the position, and I moved up, and it's been good.
It's been good.
I anticipate being here another 18 months, and after we go through our accreditation, I mean, I'm just thinking, it's time to let the younger individuals move up the chain.
Okay.
And it's time to go fishing, you know?
Yeah, right, because you've been, how long have you been a PA?
Over 44 years.
Over 44 years. I think you're due some fishing time.
Yeah.
And Tennessee has some great spots for that.
You know, I still have comments. I mean, you know, like everything is timing. I wish this whole practice authority thing is, I mean, I did that. I was basically a freestanding person for X number of years. Whether it's 10,000 miles or 6 miles, it's ridiculous. But that's okay. And I'm just talking about primary care.
Right.
I mean, you know, what you need to practice medicine is a good basic foundation and know when you don't know.
Right.
And when you don't know, medicine is a hierarchy. You go to the next person in the hierarchy.
Mm-hmm.
And I've done this so many times with a PA, and I'd go talk to the doc, and he or she would say, geez, I don't know, where is Harry?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's, you know.
So on your profile on the website for the college, it says you lecture on PA history?
Yeah.
So is there a specific area that you like to lecture on, or just give a general overview?
No.
You like it?
I am the history.
You are the history? That is true.
I mean, you know, and Vic Germino, I left out Vic Germino.
Yeah.
Vic Germino, one of the first four PAs, he was in the Coast Guard with me.
Mm-hmm.
And we were obviously different duty stations, but Vic and I were just, you know, good buddies, or as they would say in the military, running mates.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we were just friends, and just such a great guy. And he was a Coast Guard warrant officer like myself.
Mm-hmm.
So, oh, geez, how do I forget Vic? Vic is phenomenal. He's done more things than a lot of people. He's the typical PA, what I call a typical PA.
Mm-hmm.
He was in the Alaskan pipeline. He was on ships. He flew his ultralight. He's done 101 things. Just a great guy.
Mm-hmm.
Great guy. And a good friend.
All right, so being a graduate from a first class of graduating PAs to being an instructor for about 20-plus years, what have some of the major changes in PA academics and the PA field that you've noticed?
Well, to be perfectly honest, the student that I was is not the student of today.
Okay.
You know, you've heard a lot of things about millennials, and just let me put it this way.
Yeah, be careful, I am a millennial. But
doesn't matter to me. Within the academy, within the universities,
right.
I mean, they have different expectations. I was happy to be alive and thankful that I got a chance for education. Nowadays, take it for what it's worth, the perception is you think you should be handed everything. Well, don't work like that, okay?
Right.
And don't take this personally, but if you do, fine. But, I mean, that's it. We also have an influx of women in the profession.
Mm-hmm.
The profession was designed to be gender neutral.
Right.
Okay? Also, as an access up the line for individuals who are minorities, to access another professional other than nursing profession. Mm-hmm. Also, to take individuals, nurses, laboratory people, physical therapists, pharmacists, you name it, to come into the medical practice side of the house. And it really, you know, we only have about 8%, 6-8% minority participation. We are 63% female. Mm-hmm. And don't get me wrong, I'm just stating facts, mm-hmm. okay? And that doesn't bother me one way or the other. I'm just saying that what we started out to do, we didn't do mm-hmm. in that aspect, gender neutral,
right.
Access for minorities, and then access for those in the healthcare professions wanting to come over and do a little switcheroo. Mm-hmm. This is the reality of it all, okay? But it is what it is. We've gone from technical skills to academic excellence. Mm-hmm. Some PA programs really forget where they come from. I just was on the phone with military people. Mm-hmm. This is a military. This whole profession is based on the military. Now, some programs won't even give a vet the time of day.
Oh.
And I make an effort to talk to the vets, mm-hmm. to tell them, here's what you have to do if you want to come into a PA program. I mentor them, and I say tormentor them. But this is what I just told a young lady who has 11,000 hours of experience, start your master so you can show the program you're applying to where know you can do graduate work. I said this to the guys, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, a lot of us, we're not academicians, but we become academicians because we want to do this. I mean, it's always out there. I love the vets. I am one. Mm-hmm. I don't think we recognize them enough, and that's my personal opinion. Mm-hmm. Other programs have different, but they always forget where they came from.
So what has been the most satisfying aspect of your career as a PA? And that can be both from the academic standpoint or as a clinical PA, a practice.
Two. One?
As many as you want.
No, two. One is a simple thank you from a patient. And then the second one is seeing those you've helped educate mm-hmm. become successful PAs. That's it.
And do you have a favorite story from practicing? They
were all interesting.
They were all interesting.
I remember a kid swallowing a nickel, and I picked him up, met his leg, mm-hmm. and instead of the Heimlich, hit him right between the shoulder blades, and that coin shoots out. The parents were so happy. I mean, that is just, you know, one of them. But, you know, like I say, every patient's different. Every experience is different. And it's so nice to realize you've done something, even if it's minor, putting a Band-Aid or suturing a kid up or what have you, or putting a cast on a young kid. I'll tell you one story.
Okay.
I'll do it quickly. This young child comes in who is, I don't want to use the term we told it, but challenged.
Yes.
And was brought into me by a guy who was dressed in a white shirt, black tie, black suit, and you ever see these Greek captain hats?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I get this kid in, and I get him to calm down, and I start suturing him. So I'm gloved and all, and this guy keeps putting his head in, wondering what's going on. So when I'm to him once, I said to him, excuse me, sir, please, I'm taking care of my patients. You're distracting them. So the third time he puts his head in, mm-hmm. I walk up to him, and I go up to his right up close to him. I say, get the hell out of my emergency room. So I finished suturing this fellow up. He was like 18, 19. Mm-hmm. And I get called into the captain's office. And the guy who I thought was a chauffeur,
yeah,
was sitting in a chair looking at me. And the captain, the senior medical officer, says to me, he says, Rick, do you know who this gentleman is? I says, no, sir. He said, did you tell the guy out of your emergency room? I said, yes, sir. He said, I'd like to introduce you to Admiral Buckley.
Oh, jeez.
Medal of Honor winner, mm-hmm. the gentleman who took MacArthur off Corregidor in his PT boat.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, oh, God, I'm going to Vietnam.
No.
I'm serious. He looked up at me and he says, you know something, Doc? I said, no, sir. He says, it's been a long time. The third-class hospital corpsman told me to get the hell out of anywhere. 2 hours later, a cake comes down to me.
Mm-hmm.
It's from his wife. Thank you.
No.
Yeah. So I told a Medal of Honor winner,
mm-hmm.
Admiral, to get the hell out of my emergency room. God bless the truth.
No.
So that was the most interesting experience I had. But I was not as a PA, as a corpsman.
Okay.
As a corpsman. That's one of the funny stories of medicine that I remember. So that's been my life. I've been a little crazy. That's what I said.
No, interesting.
So, all right. Yeah. Anything else?
No, I think that's it. Do you have any advice you would like to give for the younger generation of PAs?
Study hard. Prepare for your boards.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it's all about.
All right.